You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. We continue on a Thursday. The Gunner joins me. Made a cameo appearance with Jerry Durant a little bit ago, and so he joins us for real now. He's a pretty interesting dude, isn't he?
Who, me?
No, not you. Jerry Durant.
I'm a pretty interesting dude.
You know what? You are in your own right. You are in your own right, but you got mixed reviews as a head of a PSD since he got his two purple hearts. So
no, that's not me.
That's what he said. I wouldn't pass judgment on you. I think you're. Every time I've been around you, you always had your shit together. But Durant, man, he's a Vietnam guy. So come on, he's an expert.
Yeah, no kidding, huh?
Yeah. So, he is a funny dude.
You live in Irvine, don't you?
No, I don't live in Irvine. Mike is like doing a background. Mike is doing a background check on me.
What city do you live in?
Don't.
Costa Mesa?
Well, I don't know. Something, I live in Orange County. How about we leave it at that?
No.
Like, why?
Oh,
you,
well, there you are.
Why are you going into my life details on live on the radio?
I got you.
Should I pull yours up now?
I already did mine.
You already did yours. So what are you doing? You're just checking out your what people have filed
my
people, on.
My friend. Yeah. Yeah. This is you.
You're screening your friends.
Yeah. Susan, your wife, your ex-wife, right?
Right.
Yeah. I got it now.
Hold on, that's good. So what are you doing, and why are you doing it? Are you bored? You're creeping on your friends.
Yeah, I'm bored.
You're bored.
Yeah, I'm bored. Hey, who's Burkhardt?
Stop it, man! What are you doing?
No, I'm just, they're all North Dakota folks.
Yeah, that's because we lived up there, man.
Yeah, you got nothing here. I mean, it's just. It doesn't show. You don't have the criminal history. You don't even see anything in there.
So you're not
a good kid.
You're not even going to see my criminal history? Well, that's all right.
No records found.
Oh, okay. All right, then I'm clear. I'm free and clear. And let me tell you, that's no easy task. Okay, that's not an easy one to pull off, especially when you're not a choir boy.
No, I'm pretty actually surprised that you made it that far.
I know. I know, but that's why Mike and I get along, because Mike's not a choir boy either.
I'm looking at Rudy right now.
And you could tell.
Do you know what his middle name is?
No, I don't.
Randall.
Randall?
Randall.
Yeah, what's up with that? Well, you know what? I mean, it's probably a family name, okay? Because it's not one that kind of like.
Randall.
It's not
Kirk
one like.
Randall.
It's not like one of those names that just rolls off your.
He's clear, too, man. He's a clean kid. University of Manchester.
Where's that? That's not. He didn't go there. He went to the University of Eastern Washington.
That's where he got his BA, but he's currently, right now, going to University of Manchester, getting his master's in business administration.
Holy
good job, Randy. Randall.
Randall. What does it say about you?
Oh, I'm boring, too. Oh, there's a picture of him and Cindy. That's so cute.
All right, let me pull Gunner up.
I'm a squeaky clean guy too.
My youngest likes to just like do a search of like you on the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just to see what she finds.
See what your internet rep is?
Yeah, see what kind of path you cut on the internet. are you, you know, and so Musselman, that's
it's an funny, mine.
That's not a rare name, Musselman. I'm surprised. Isn't
there's a lot of Michaels? Yeah.
Isn't it a isn't it some kind of like Mediterranean name? What is the historical origin of Musselman?
German.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a German name, and it was actually pronounced Musselman. So, and it's down by Bavaria, German, Mussel means log, and man means man, of course, so logging man. So my family were probably loggers, and it's correct. I mean, it shows Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, and Pennsylvania is where most of the Musselmans come from. They immigrated from Germany, from the Bavarian area down way south of in Germany. But it's
okay.
Musel, log man.
Michael Musselman, Marine Corps Association, Michael Musselman, LinkedIn, and then the litany of all Marine radio.
Ooh, getcha, bitches.
Sea duty, damage control, and Father's Day, Mike and Mike. I can't remember what we talked about. Here's one. Light it up, a Marine's eye for battle in the war for Iraq. Warrant Officer Mike Musselman spotted through the sight of a chain gun several Iraqi soldiers. Then it ends.
Oh, that's from the March Up. I never talked to who wrote the March Up. Bing what?
This isn't in the March Up. This is a different book. It's called
what?
This is called Light It Up.
Who's never interviewed?
Well, they're using your name.
What lawsuit?
And
you're a lawyer?
Were you a warrant officer then, or a chief warrant officer then?
I was never a warrant officer. I was always a chief warrant officer.
Well, you're misidentified. Close to Baghdad at Al Azizia in early April of 2003, warrant officer Mike Musselman spotted through the side of the chain gun several Iraqi soldiers removing their green uniforms. One Iraqi fired his AK-47 at the LAB and then started to run away. The Iraqi soldier turned misty after being hit by rounds from a 25-millimeter gun as Musselman thought how crazy it was for the man to have shot. And then there's a footnote. I imagine they're footnoting, the passage from Bing West's book.
Yeah. You know, and that was the heart, you know, I never talked to Bing West. He talked to my crew, and they were talking about they had just got to us after we got into that engagement with those Iraqi soldiers. And, like I said, I was dumbfounded. Like, why, guys, are you shooting at me?
Yeah.
You know, and that was, I told you that story. That's where Duffy White was sitting next to me, and I started to fire the 25 millimeter, and Duffy was like, what the hell is going on? You know, his Duffy boy. And he drops down in the turret, and he's trying to look through his sight, but his sight block is on. So, you know, he can't see, and he doesn't know where it's at. So as I'm shooting, I'm reaching over to the right, trying to feel my way to find his sight block lever, open it up so you can see. And then he kept engaging, because he was in the TC seat, he kept engaging the manual override. So every time I go to shoot, the gun would burr, and I'm like, stop. And I'd knock his hand away and get back on the gun. And he grabbed the palm switch again, and then the gun would override. I mean, it was just, oh. And I was yelling at him, just get up on the coax and keep shooting. And that's where I witnessed one of the craziest things I've ever seen in combat.
Which
one? You know what that was?
Hold on. No, I don't. In that situation, I remember you talking about the after effect of that group.
Well, the after effect. I'm not there yet.
Right.
No,
I don't know.
My OPSO was sitting on the C-squared next to me on the roof with the arrow, you know, because they were calling an airstrike.
Right.
And I looked over, and my OPSO is shooting his 9mm in a seated position, sitting on the roof of the thing, at targets probably about 200 yards away.
He's in the fetal position?
Seated position.
Oh, seated
position. He's sitting on the roof of the C-square. You know how you always sat on the roof?
Right, right, right. With your pistol. That's
pretty, but he's shooting his...
That's pretty pointless.
Well, I just didn't get it. I was looking at him like, but to each his own, I guess.
Do you, no kidding. Do you remember when the day we were talking in Afghanistan about coffee enemas? And, let me describe a conversation with you. So for whatever reason, I see this article about coffee enemas. And so, you know, we're talking about like coffee enemas. You're like, are you kidding me? There's like evidently places where you go. So the door opens with cipher locked door, right? So, the door opens and Mike walks in and he looks around and goes, what's going on? I'm like, nothing. What are you doing? Nothing. Hey, have you ever heard of, coffee enemas? Yeah, I've had them. And then he like, where's so-and-so? Well, stop, time out. So now I'm asking Mike questions about coffee enemas. And so he's explaining. And then as he's explaining, Montana Man walks in looking for coffee. And like all the Marines go stiff because Montana Man he's a cream stealer and he steals a lot of it. So they would steal from the chow hall to build up the supply in the COC and then he would steal from us. And if there's one thing that thieves don't like is when somebody steals more from them than they're stealing with somebody else. So they didn't like him. So he would come in. What's going on, boys? Nothing. What are you doing? Nothing. Just, come and see what's going on. Checking on Marines. What are y'all talking about? Gunner's talking about coffee enemas. Really? So he stands there and listening, and then he goes off on this thing. I use psyllium husk, and I cleanse once or twice a year. And then Mike starts talking about psyllium husk. And then Montana Man says, oh, yeah, I don't use, like, off-the-shelf products. I use stuff.
No, I use like the horse.
Yeah,
stuff.
I use stuff that's meant for animals.
Right.
And now all these heads now turn. Like, what did he just say? Oh yeah, it's awesome.
The high strength stuff. Yeah, yeah.
It's awesome, but it's meant for animals, not humans. Oh, it's the same stuff. It's the same stuff. And then he went off about how much more energy you have, that he takes stuff and he cleanses, blah, 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 blah. And everybody's just standing there looking at him like, really? Yeah, so Montana Man. So now, have you ever used psyllium husk to do what he's describing?
Yeah. All the time.
So how often do you use it? Psyllium husk is...
Every day.
Well, every day?
Yeah.
And it's...
I take like a teaspoon, mix it with water, and then drink it.
And it's...
You gotta drink it fast because it starts turning into like...
Jelly, right?
Like Jell-O.
So it is the active ingredient in Metamucil, right?
Yeah, and that's what I use, is Metamucil.
That's what most people would find it as. But not Montana Man. Right. Like Metamucil, meant for humans, that's not good enough for him. Okay. He's got a role animal style. And so,
because your body builds up all this toxicity. And, you know, it's just a great way to remove it. I'm telling you, you go through that process, it's just going to remove all the sluggishness, the bloating, it improves your digestion, you know, has all this, detoxifies the liver, da 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 da. It just goes on and on and on and on.
And so you would recommend it. Do you feel...
Oh,
so
yeah,
you,
absolutely.
But Montana Man was talking about, he feels this, like, euphoric experience, and he feels, like, vibrant and alive, but he doesn't do it every day. He does it, like, every 6 months or something like that, right?
I take Metamucil just about every day. I mean, there's sometimes I miss it, but like him, probably once or twice a year, I go through the whole cleansing process. So I take all these pills.
Cleansing.
You know, you start with like 8, and then you work your down to like 1. And, it's like liquid adrenal for your pipes inside, man. It just cleans everything. perfect.
If you, instead of searching, if you're going to search for the gunner, put Mike instead of Michael.
Why?
Uh-huh. Armed robbery?
Yeah, right.
Armed robbery in San Diego? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Mike Musselman. Mike Musselman. Holy smokes. You're in.
Put in Gunner Mike Musselman.
No, that'll bring all the propaganda. Oh, Gunner Mike Musselman.
Oh, look at this. Number two, not happy with the human race. Grabbing me.
That was from the day that we were talking when you wanted to make the human race go extinct.
Yeah.
That was quality stuff. Hey, what would you say if I told you, have you ever heard of the website 538? It does like statistical analysis of stuff. Footnotes, reputable. This big opioid epidemic, right?
Right.
Okay. I just searched Gunner, Michael, Mike, Musselman, Marine. And there's pictures of you. There's pictures of me. There's pictures of Dunford. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of stuff going there on there, my friend. Will Cosentini, Tony Zinni. You're connected to a lot of big-time stuff. Okay.
Maybe.
As death toll from opioids, both prescription and non-prescription, spiked to an estimated 33,000 in 2015, counties across the United States were filling dramatically different numbers of opioid prescriptions. Okay, now pay attention here.
Holy shit, I just see this picture of you.
That
can't be you, man. Can't be you, dude.
What am I doing?
Oh, my God, it is you. It's your day when you got your flat top on the USS Ranger with your red, your lieutenant.
Motivator!
So young.
I was a kid.
Look at you, man.
I was a baby.
You look like you're 14, like you're junior ROTC.
I'm a first lieutenant, man. I've already got 1.5.
Junior ROTC, man.
I've got 1.5 and first light armored vehicle battalion under my belt at that point in my career.
Look at you.
Executive officer, Marine Detachment, United States Marine Corps.
Look at that. Oh, Bob's on there, too.
Bob. I threw the picture of Bob that I wrote on.
His Vietnam picture?
No. No, it's a picture of that he gave me when he was my battalion commander. So I walked
in. No, not Neller.
Oh, Bob who?
Bob from D.C.
Bob.
I can't think of his last name. We talk about him all the time. He runs the program.
Bob Nielsen.
Bob Nielsen, yeah. His Vietnam picture where he's holding the Vietnamese kid.
Ah, that's a cool picture of him. There's a picture of you here with a big dip in along with DJ Furness.
I think a bee stung my lip.
Oh,
that is a big dip. I have a big.
That's
right
a
there.
Big. It is. That's a full on meal right there. That Mike's rolling with. Here's another one.
Holy smoke.
That Larry
I'm ashamed of that picture.
Larry Nicholson. I don't see you in that picture.
Which one?
There's a picture of Larry Nicholson aboard a ship, and I was looking for you inside of that. But
no, that's his three. That's when he was a. I think that's when he's in 3 months.
Okay. All right. Well, then why is it coming up if I'm searching for you? You're connected.
We're buddies.
You're connected to everybody. So I'm back to opium. In one
Trump
in five
comes up when you search for me.
Who does? Buck
Donald Trump.
Oh, Trump or Buck? Buck should.
Buck doesn't like to be on the space. He calls it the space page. Facebook.
Tell him that too bad. We don't
this
always.
It's like witchcraft sorcery to him. The internet. He just. He doesn't know how
everybody,
it works.
You know what? Everybody plays that bullshit. Oh, I don't want to be. Oh.
No. Let me tell you, Buck is the legitimate. I've been over there.
No. So he's just not one of those guys talking it. He's living it.
Yeah, he's not very savvy when it comes to the computer.
Oh, hold on. Here's one that I haven't seen.
But he can make a meat pair of boots.
Look at you, Michael Musselman, LinkedIn. Everybody go to Mike Musselman, find him on LinkedIn, and go check out his profile.
Why? What does it say?
I don't know, but that's when is this picture taken?
I don't know what picture it is. Am I in a blue shirt? Yeah. Oh, that was just a couple of years ago.
Look at you, all young, got a low and tight going.
Yeah, that's when we were at the Jack Daniel's distillery.
You got your eyebrows trimmed. Looking good, man. Looking good. I'm a
good looking guy.
I need to save this. Gunner. Musselman. All right. Now I've saved that. That'll start appearing. That's a good picture of you, man. That's you look like a dashing young American. All right, so listen to this about
Oprah. I could have been a pilot of that picture.
Yeah, with that picture, you straight up could have been a pilot. And Mike would have been totally into it. He wouldn't have just been messing around with it. He would have embraced being a pilot completely. Okay, now to opium.
Opium.
In one in five U.S. counties, the number of prescriptions increased by more than 10% over 5 years from 2010 to 2015. Okay, so in 20% of the counties, that the number of prescriptions went up more than 10% over the course of 5 years. That's 2% a year. However, in the same period of time, half of all counties experienced reductions in prescriptions over the same period of time.
Right.
So 50%, the number went down. So I'm trying to get my hands around this big crisis we have nationally. We have an opium crisis. Oh, really? Like where and with who? So you mean that among people that abuse prescription drugs, there's a crisis with them? Instead of abusing Vicodin, they're abusing opium and winding up in the ER? Like, so should I care about that? Does that make me a bad person to say that? Like, I don't know that I look. And what I heard from cops is there's not necessarily more people doing it. However, the people that are doing it, they are, they're doing heavier drugs. Okay, so that's a national crisis? I guess it is. It makes me sound like a callous bastard, I know. But I just, like, look, so we're going to devote billions of dollars to this crisis that we have? How about this? Doctors, stop prescribing that shit. You know, everybody do their job. And if you got a problem, put your hand up and say, I have a problem, go get help. Is that me being stupid? Oh, Mac, you're being too harsh. You're one of those guys. Well, maybe I am one of those guys. But I just don't believe in bullshit, right? And if you're going to tell me this is like a big issue, then please footnote it for me and help me understand how we got there and who's being so dramatically affected by this opioid thing. Or is it just this drug has been substituted for this drug among this group of people that struggle with addiction anyway? Oh, now I see. Okay. All right. So I just thought it was an interesting little article that appeared in 538. So, and I would recommend, I mean, if put that on your list of little bookmarks, because they always have interesting, again, footnoted stuff on that website. So for those of you who care about such things and you look to read interesting factual stuff, and for instance, let me read you a few of the headlines today. Disaster politics can get you in the way of disaster preparedness. And one of the stories you're going to start reading about is 80% of the people in the region affected by that flood do not have flood insurance. So you know what that means?
Yeah.
There's only one thing they can do. They can take out loans. If you can't take out a loan, then guess what? You got to move on. And you're going to see that story get told.
Can we jump from opium to the disaster in Texas?
Yep. Pay attention, okay, because it moves fast sometimes. Okay, so that's one headline. Okay.
Not even a lead-in. Not even like a
Oh, you wanted some foreplay?
Yeah, I wanted kind of like, you know,
let's transition here. No, there is no bridge. It's a reckless right turn. Another headline. It's time to ditch the. What's that?
Medication for your ADHD.
It's time to ditch the concept of the 100-year floods. And they go into statistically, first of all, we only have 100 years of data, if that, in some places.
Right.
And then we have, this is Houston's third 500-year event in, you know, like 10 years. So something tells me, Batman, that maybe it's not a 500-year event.
Ooh.
Then they have stuff related to sports. Albert Pujols is the worst player in baseball. And then they statistically prove like how they did the evaluation and why it makes sense mathematically to them. And so, like I said, it's interesting. It's interesting stuff. And then today they have like significant digits for Thursday, August 31st, 2017. The first one is one, the number one. Are you a dinosaur guy, Mike?
No.
I don't like dinosaurs either. Bad news for the people of Thornton, Colorado, waiting for a new public safety facility on 132nd Avenue and Quebec Street. Work will be delayed indefinitely because of a triceratopsis or something like that that got in the way. Workers uncovered the rare fossil while breaking ground. And now all sorts of scientists and museum curators are involved, which means nothing's going to get done.
Imagine that.
And there's I like stuff like that. It interests me. So anyway, I offer that to you for public consumption.
And I will not accept that for public consumption. So,
why not? Why are you hating on that?
I'm not hating on it. It's just, to me, that's just like, ugh.
All right, hold on. Hold that thought. Email. Mac, I heard you yesterday talking to Grant Newsham about the road to war in North Korea. I'd be curious about how Mike thinks we're going to go to war or not in North Korea. Okay, so Mike, let me take you down the road, and we'll do action, reaction, counteraction, okay? So, action.
Go.
The United States, or North Korea shoots ICBM
over Japan.
Over Japan. Reaction.
What rule did they break?
Okay, so we're just going to live with it.
This is one of those things, okay, what are we going to do about it? Quit talking about it and do something.
I'm asking you, if you were queen for a day, what do we do?
Oh, I'd go level the place.
You go level North Korea? Okay, so now we've done nothing. So now
we're talking about the tick on the body and remove it.
Okay, so now the next thing that's going to happen is North Korea shoots ICBMs aimed at Guam. What does the United States do?
Well, we gotta go.
So we shoot the missiles down, or we attack North Korea?
We shoot the missile down, and then we send a message. We write it on the tip of some kind of missile system, and then we put it into North Korea's property.
Okay, so we retaliate with conventional munitions against some targets, and
do your deer analogy. And you put a rubber-tipped missile, and you shoot it right at one of their bunker systems. And you say, okay, boys, this could have been real.
Oh.
This could have been alive.
So now now after ridiculing it, you're embracing the idea of the rubber-tip arrow. I like that.
I like it. Send a message.
So he knows.
It could have been your day.
He knows that I know that he knows that I know that. I could have had his ass right there. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So then what they do is they say, okay, and they shell that island again, and they sink a couple South Korean naval vessels. And
well, then it's game on, boys.
Okay. So then what happens? So now we begin to deploy additional forces to the Korean Peninsula.
Yeah, you just go.
So now it's on. And then when we get enough there, then we go.
When what?
And then, so we send additional air forces and ground forces to the peninsula, and then we're going to go at some point.
Yeah, I mean,
we're going to level.
How much longer can we kick the can down the road?
Okay, well, let's talk about that. Do you think, because there's another email.
What's the trigger going to be?
Hey, Mac, so the gunner doesn't think.
This guy needs to be removed from power.
The gunner doesn't think that we can live with.
But then now they should be planning for phase 3 and 4.
Not phase 4.
Phase 1 and 2 is going to.
Phase 4, Mike, we can't do phase 4. I wonder if we could outsource phase 4. Who do you think does phase 4 well? Anybody? No, I didn't figure. He hung up on himself. He does this shit all the time. And then he's like, oh no, you did it. Okay, hold on. We've got a few more minutes, so let me call him back. He either mutes himself or some other bullshit, and then we don't have him. I have to sneeze. Excuse me. Uh-oh. It's not ringing. Oh, there it is. And back with us.
You've reached Mike Musselman at 817-771-5004. Please leave a message and I'll get back to you as soon as possible. Thank you.
At the tone, please record your message.
Oops. Sorry about that. Cell number just went out, so I hope you wrote that down there, sports fan. You know what that means. Since it went straight to voicemail, either he's still talking and he hasn't figured it out, or...
Hey.
What happened?
I don't know. It keeps going back to voicemail when I tried to call you right back.
Oh, all right. Well, I was calling you. Okay, so you don't think, the email says this, we live with nuclear Pakistan. We're going to have to live with nuclear Iran soon. Why can't we deal? Why can't we deal?
Different.
Hold on. Let me finish the email. Why can't we live with nuclear North Korea? We'll simply ignore him. But as Banyan said when he left the White House, in the first day of that conflict, there are going to be an incredible numbers of civilian casualties in Seoul. And that is the fly in the ointment. You can't protect Seoul. You can't limit civilian casualties. Until you can do that, you can't go do this thing. Why don't we just live with him? Why is it worth the loss of American life? He's never going to launch one. Nobody will. There you have it. All right, Mike, your turn.
And I hope you're right. Okay, so let's go down that road. Okay. I agree with that.
Okay.
But let's, you know, this is really one of those 50-50 things. We always say, well, he's not going to launch one. What if he, so let's go in fact of, what if he does? What if he has nothing to lose? Because he's crazy. What does he have to lose? His regime, his life? Because they don't understand that.
Okay, so your point is that he's a crazy man, and we can't live with that. Pakistan's not a crazy regime.
No. They're not a belligerent country, no. They don't do things like North Korea does. And just for the simple fact that, it's amazing to me, the simple fact that, you know, look at what he's doing to his people. And we stand on the sideline and watch this.
No, he's a gangster. But he owns a country, right? That's the bottom line.
Yeah, he's a mafia boss, a mafioso that owns the country.
Okay. Yep. All right, Mac, you forgot to ask him about China. What role does China play? When do we put their balls in a... when do we put their Chinese balls in a vice? Mike, does China play in all this? Do we make it hurt for them before we go get North Korea?
I think China is starting to get on board where they're like, you know, we're tired of this guy too. And they could benefit for having him gone as well. You make it a lucrative business deal for China. They turn the other way, and it's over with.
Let me tell you, we both know. It's a huge role.
Bouncing all over the place.
Yes.
Have you seen the Amtraks that have been deployed, the Marine Corps Amtraks down
there?
Yeah, in Texas?
I played the video this morning. It's awesome. That was my point, man. Though you can take, and those guys are reservists. They're out of Galveston, but it was awesome to see, right? Those big Amtraks rolling down the street and stuff like that. But Mike and I were talking the other day. There's no reason why you can't have active duty units, and now we're talking almost a week after this thing starts that guard units and other units are getting there. You could have had active duty units there the whole time in the vicinity helping out. And so to me, and you know, I'm just saying,
but it's not the responsibility of the federal troops to do this.
It's not.
That has to be all agreed, has to be done up prior to. And you think that we will learn our lesson in Katrina,
right?
Where we implement federal aid right away. We put these troops, you know. But I'm watching videos of Air National Guard and Army and Navy helicopters, Marine helicopters. You know, all sorts of things. They're slowly starting to trickle down there. But that, you know, the governor, he can ask for federal involvement for troops and stuff, but that's a process. You just can't deploy them.
Well, no, and my point is that when this thing breaks squelch, it's not going to be your garden variety, Cat 3, you know, we've done this before. This, and they predicted it. This is going to be a catastrophic event, and everybody rolled their eyes, whatever. But when you have those predictions, this is just McNamara. And you can put guys on alert and say, hey, we have this paperwork lined up. These units are going to plug in to this reserve command, and they are going to be subordinate them to them for a period of 5 to 7 days because this thing is deemed to be so huge. And then you get that stuff. You get that stuff on the front end, because if Katrina taught us anything, it's that look. Depending on who the mayor is and who the emergency manager and how good they are, they may do well or not do well. But we have the assets that are just sitting there doing nothing. Meanwhile, people are dying and drowning because you can't get to them. You don't have the ass to do it, and your local assets are all overwhelmed. So it's just, to me, frustrating.
But they're doing a good job, Mac.
I would tell you. No, and I had a guy on my show in North Dakota talking about again because Grand Forks went through this, and he worked for the Department of Public Works, and he said, "What you're talking about, Mac, is a paradigm shift in the way we do it, because the way we request is." We use up all our stuff, and then we request more. What you're talking about is pre-staging a package that could be used from the onset until the guard gets there. And I said, exactly. He said, you know what? I think for major catastrophes, that's a great idea because you're so overwhelmed so fast. In this case, you would have the assets to fight it early, and then those things would be – you'd essentially do a rip, Mike, right? As this reserve aviation unit shows up in 7 days, you guys leave. So anyway, I just think it ought to be. I don't know how I get that to pass by Congress, but I think it's something that ought to happen. One more email. Hey Mac, no discussion of Yankee Red Sox yet. What's up with that? We don't discuss baseball on this program anymore. At least,
I'll read you real quick.
At least until I deem it appropriate.
Yeah. So we say here, let's see. Where did it say that? You wrote. What did you write? Oh, bad day in New York, okay. And then you said, baseball will not be discussed for the foreseeable future. Because the one link that we put up there was showed that the Yankees fell 5.5 games behind
the Red Sox. Yeah. Okay, so we're done talking about baseball until I declare some kind of reversal of that policy.
Well, yeah, their moratorium's been lifted on, yeah, on baseball.
Yeah, that would be in case, if the Yankees make a comeback, it would be. But if not, we will not talk baseball. No, let me just tell you, the Red Sox.
Buck said, "Lead me out of this shit."
The one thing the Yankees and Red Sox have in common is that Cleveland just spanked both of them. Cleveland's pretty good. If you haven't seen them play, they're a young baseball team, and they're fast, and they're good. I watched them yesterday beat the Yankees in a doubleheader, and then beat them Monday night, I guess. But Cleveland, Cleveland, pretty good baseball team, and they don't even have all their pieces, and they're supposed to get a couple more players back. So, but I was pretty impressed. Email, Mac, your idea absolutely has merit. I agree with you. It is frustrating. You sit here in the first few days, and you're seeing local people deal with it. They're not prepared to deal with it, and there's only one organization that is. That is the active duty military. I plotted bases around that region. It's a joke. It's an absolute joke why we don't do this. And I don't believe that the United States Army, the Navy, or the Marine Corps has any interest in taking over Texas. I think we should get over that. I think for very short periods of time, they should be used. But I will tell you this. By the time that amphibious group of ships gets there from North Carolina or wherever the hell they're coming from, the event's going to be largely over.
Right.
The good part will be that those Marines and sailors participating will get a humanitarian service award. The bad part is that ship has sailed already. No pun intended.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I'm with you. This is Katrina shit talking. So, anyway. Mac, no prediction, Yankees, Red Sox? Come on. Sweep. The Yankees will sweep the Red Sox. Even Chris Sale, who's been lights out, he struggled last month. Yeah, he got lit up by Cleveland. The Yankees beat him in his next start. I think he won the other night. So, yeah, that's my story. I'm sticking to it. So, there you have it. Mike, you want to make a prediction?
No, after the game's off, I'll make my prediction.
Another email. Do you boys think it was a good idea or a bad idea that the NFL canceled the game between the Cowboys and the Texans? Mike, you're a Texan. The Cowboys are your team now. What do you think?
It's up to them. I mean, they chose the right. I'm not going to second guess. I mean, they did it out of respect. The only people that really gain out of it is really the teams. I mean, so for them to forego that game, I mean, it shows some respect in a different aspect. So,
I remember Wayne Gretzky talking before Desert Storm started that it didn't feel right playing the NHL All-Star game. And my thought was this. Wait a minute. I mean, to the guys that are over there, I mean, they'd like to watch it. Like, I know you might not feel like it, but when you're over there, it's like, oh, we're not going to play the World Series because we're at war. Are you kidding me? It gives us a chance to shit talk and maybe, you know, 5 minutes of relief as you, you know, maybe get to see some highlights in some way, shape, or form. So come on, man. So part of me felt that.
This is preseason. It doesn't really matter.
Well, it is. And that's what, another emailer wrote, here. Hold on. It's the last preseason game. It doesn't really matter. I think it's more important to allow those players to get back to their community, be with their families, than it is to play some bullshit game up in Dallas, which is, I think, the location of the game. Or it was moved there because of using the Texans stadium as a refuge site. It's a meaningless game. Doesn't matter if they play it. The NFL ought to go to two or one preseason game and go anyway. but thoughts and prayers and much respect for J.J. Watt. His Hurricane Harvey relief fund is over $10 million now, and I bet you that thing gets to probably close to $100 million.
Yeah, and see, this is what I really like about this is what football players or people should be doing, not like the Colin Kaepernick sitting down and kneeling to show protest, but to use their position to do something good, like, you know, J.J., that's a night and day kind of person you're describing from Colin Kaepernick and J.J. Watt.
Yeah.
So, but he's doing the right thing. He's doing great things. He's going to use his popularity and his position and his life to do some good for some of these people down there. So,
it'll be interesting if it happens that people kneel for the national anthem on this weekend when we've seen Texans really show the nation what it is to be an American and not the rest of this nonsense that has gone on, and to see the reaction of the American public, because I think you've seen it written often over the course of the last week that these are Americans. The idiot white supremacists, that is a fraction of 1%, a small fraction of 1%, a small fraction of less than 1% of the nation. The people on the left wing that are rolling around in those black costumes doing that is such a small segment, yet it dominates our news, and that's not who we are. Mike's lived it. I've lived it. That's not the nation I know. That's not the nation I volunteered in. That's not the nation I've served. And Texas is showing us what it is to be
American.
Part of the melting pot that is our American democracy. And it's all, it's been, I'll tell you what, and I think the nation needs that with all the divisive bullshit that we see.
Texans were branded as deplorables because we're a red state, you know, the things that we believe in. Well, this is what it's like to be a deplorable, then sign me up and give me a lifetime membership, because this is the type of America that I like to be associated with, people helping out one another, doing things, you know. And it's an ongoing thing here in Texas. I mean, not too long ago when we had the big wildfires up in the panhandle of Texas and Oklahoma where it burned all that property, and it was horrible. I mean, people lost their livelihood, you know, and there were volunteers like they just did here because it's a big ranching community, and people donated the time and donated hay and feed and feed bags and all sorts of things to bring down there to help the cattle and the horses and all the livestock that are, you know, suffering just as well. And that's people's livelihood. And there's a nonstop, you know, cry. And you can't go anywhere here without someone bending over backwards and doing something for people they don't know. And they do it because, one, they're Texans, two, they're Americans, and three, they're in need for it. They need someone to help them. And you're in a position to help. And this is what, like I said, this is the great thing about living in a state like this. This happens every day, whereas not once every time a national disaster happens in a far-off left-wing area, and people come together and they rally, and it's all great. And then as soon as it dies out in the media, then they go back to being the assholes that they are.
Well, and I would tell you this, Mike, that this is what got Donald Trump elected. The disconnect that those people feel with what they see in Washington, D.C. every day. And they've seen it year after year after year after year after year. And they're sick of it. They're sick of the bullshit they hear out of Washington, D.C. because they are salt of the earth people. And they're sick of it. And I don't know another way to say it.
It's going to crack me up. I'm going to crack up. I'm going to laugh so hard when Trump gets reelected with a 40% polling rate of acceptance in America. Because, again, the media is so on board. You know, he's only 40%. Okay. You know, Obama was at 37 and everybody loved him. So, I mean, 40, you're doing pretty good.
Well, and again, people don't care. I mean, when they hear, you know, just, you know, for instance, now Mitch McConnell, you can't get health care passed. Now, are you gonna screw up tax reform as well? So, and if you are, why do we need you for some stupid principled stand that you think you're taking? I don't get it.
Yeah.
I absolutely don't get it. Don't we pay you to make it better for us? I think we did. At least we used to.
Well, that's the truth. They're the true gutter of America, is our legislative branch and our senators, our congressmen, not all of them, but the majority, and our judicial branch. That is the true gutter. That's the swamp. You know, when they're doing this stuff out of spite, and they're not looking at the big picture or other things, you know, they're just doing it because it's politically correct or it's what they believe is the right thing to do. And it, again, the largest voice is the people that are only make up 1% of the population. But they have the largest, they have the tallest platform, and they have the largest voice.
Wow. All right, man. So, good luck today. Make us proud.
Yeah. I'll talk to you later.
All right. There you have it. Mike Musselman. He's a Red Sox fan. And he loves the state of Texas. That'll do it here on a Thursday.
I've upped the goal to $10 million because everything's bigger in Texas, and why not shoot for $10 million, see what we can do. I've already begun the process. We're filling the semi trucks as we speak.
That's JJ Watt talking about his fun. JJ Watt's gonna be a big man in Houston for a long time. You know, and to me, the memo to Colin Kaepernick is this: there's a better way to go about it. There's a better way to use your celebrity than the divisive way. And you hear that from people that, but they won't listen. It's almost like it's a matter of pride. I can't back down now. I've gone down this road. Now if I back down, I look like I've sold out. But anyway, it's a pity. But my thanks to Jared Rant for making an appearance this morning on this program. So always great to have him on. He's a great, great guy, and he's an awesome guy to serve with. So my thanks to him for coming on. Always love having the Gunner on. So anyway, have a great day wherever you are. Don't forget, if you can contribute, Salvation Army, American Red Cross. I've done disaster work with both of them. And if I was going to direct you to one, they said, Mac, pick one. I'd tell you the Salvation Army. They show up with those food trucks and feed people and hand out money, and they don't ask for anything. Yeah, they're incredible. I didn't know that. Salvation Army, awesome, awesome, awesome organization. And the Red Crosses, too. But if you didn't put a gun to my head, but if you asked me, hey, if you had to pick one. But however you do it, we all ought to help the people of Houston and the region out. They certainly will need it. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow on a Thursday. All Marine Radio. Out.